Praise the Lord. How are we doing tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the Wild Bunch that comes out. Amen. Wednesday night in January. Oh, it's the Special Forces. SEAL Team 6, right? Amen. How are y'all doing back there? Hi, folks. Well, I double dog dare you all to come up into the first three rows. No pressure now that I just announced it, but I'm just, it's just a kind and inviting, just something happens when we all get closer, amen? I don't know what that is, and I can't give you the scripture, but something happens. Praise the Lord, just get comfortable. Praise the Lord, and Pastor John said you guys usually dismiss at 11:30 on Wednesday nights, so I'll make sure that we get out right on time for that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful place in worship that we got into. Here we are at the beginning of 2019. 2019. It's not okay for us to just, as you know, as Christians, we can't just transition into a new season just like the world does. And, you know, maybe we have a New Year's resolution, maybe we don't. And just kind of, well, hope for the best. Throw something up against the wall and see if anything sticks. You know? But sometimes we can get into that form, speaking for myself. And it's not the hour, it's not the time for us to be lackadaisical in our assignment. Because we've got an assignment. And I'm sure many of you know that very soon, Emily and I will be moving up to the Lakes region. And I'll tell you, and I didn't even share this with Emily today, but there was just driving through. I grew up here, right? I know this area. I always liked it. But I'll tell you, just driving up through here today, Pastor, there was such like a love that was just like welling up on the inside. And, you know, yeah, it's beautiful and it's pretty and, you know, all of that. But just the love, and I know the Holy Ghost is up to something. He's up to something. And he is setting this church up. He is setting your lives up to be a conduit, to be a part, to play a piece in this amazing move of God that isn't just for some, for us to read or watch on YouTube. But to actualize, to participate in, to realize, to be a participator in, to not just hear about a move of God that happens somewhere, other part of the country or the world, but literally to see our streets and neighborhoods and towns and cities transformed by nothing else than His presence. Him. It's Him. This move is all about Him. This move is all about Him. The world doesn't need another set of rules, another set of regulations, another, you know, 12 steps to this and 10 steps to that and 9 steps to this. They need an encounter with Jesus. I need an encounter with Jesus. You know, if I had two bowls of apples, organic, both organic, nice, really nice apples. I'm talking top shelf Whole Foods apples. One just picked today. The other picked 7 weeks ago. Which one would you like one from? Today's. Take today's, right? Without question. There's no hesitation. You know, these are bright and red and beautiful, and these are brown. Nothing wrong with the color brown, but I don't want it on my apple, right? Why is that? Fresh. Freshness. He created us for freshness. He created us for a fresh encounter with Him. That means that the encounter, though it was wonderful that I had with Him, that you had with Him 10 years ago, though it was wonderful and we look back with it at it with fondness, he's beckoning to us for something fresh, to come into a fresh place with Him for now. Why is that? Because what we had then, we've grown. The world around us has changed. And he's, you know, and if we're not getting anything out of it, if we're just trying to, you know, go to the same place, go to the same place, go to the same place, you know, and we're not enjoying it, I don't know that he's getting much enjoyment out of it either. But the reason it's important is because it's that fresh manna from heaven. You know, if the children of Israel didn't eat the manna, it got wormy. No one wants wormy manna. We need, you know, it, where it says that Jesus is the bread of life. It's the tense there is he's continually the bread of life. He wasn't just the bread of life 2,000 years ago. He is the bread of life that you and I need on a constant basis. In Hebrews where it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Well, I don't know about you, but I need him 24/7, 365, and sometimes 366. We're supposed to be in this positioning of continually coming boldly to his throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace. Let's just go, you know, dial it down. Unmerited favor to help us in the time of need. Well, it might be something that we're in present need for, or it might be something someone in our sphere of life has need of him. And he's looking to position us to be that conduit now, for now. So, praise the Lord. I want to talk to you. We have a little bit more intimate gathering tonight. And, you know, let's get into this year. Let's not waste a day. Amen. Let's just not waste a day. Let's just go in full throttle. Amen. I'm thankful for what things have looked like, but if we continually have an expectation to see what we've always seen, we'll never see what we haven't seen. We have to be pressing by the Holy Spirit deeper into God. We have to be leaning on him in our day-to-day in a way that we haven't done before. It's super uncomfortable on the flesh, but there's a freshness, there's a place in God that while we contend for, he's not sitting back like, come on, try a little harder. There's something that gets ignited. There's like a breaker anointing that happens when we press into him and say, God, you promised. You know, we sing about the promises tonight, and there's a verse in the Passion Translation that says there's not one promise of God that comes devoid of power to accomplish that promise. So every single one of the promises carries with it the power to bring itself to pass. So whether we're contending for healing for ourselves or building a healing tent. Amen? A healing tent. This can be the tent. There's promises for it that he chooses, you know, healing. You know, we've heard it said that, oh, healing's just a bonus of salvation. No way. No way. He went to that scourging post willingly. No one took his life. He laid it down. And those stripes that fell was not just a, well, it's a bonus blessing. No way. Because in order for us to manifest the kingdom of God on earth, we have to be whole in our bodies, whole in our minds, whole in our emotions, whole in our relationships, whole in our finances, so that we can dispense wholeness. He never intended for our identity to be wrapped up in our function. Our identity has to be of a place of sonship, of daughtership. Sonship. The Bible doesn't say daughtership. So ladies, you're all sons. Men, we're all the bride of Christ. So there you go. We're even. That resting place of sonship. That resting place of sonship, that from that place we function. From that place we function. If we get the cart before the horse, it'll look real funny. And now we're trying to, you know, faith something out, force something out, apart from our identity, which is where the power lies, in order to bring that thing to pass. Whatever it is. Because if we put our function ahead of our identity, then when we're contending for healing or we're believing God for finances, there will be a tendency to lean back on our doings rather than all the time recognizing that it is a gift, 100% a gift, forever and forever a gift. It's the, you know, the Bible calls the devil an evil genius. It's absolutely diabolical. I'll give him a little bit of grace, but we'll keep in a little bit of law. You know, the law of Moses. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad, right? That sums up the Old Testament. Pretty good. We all agree? All right, we won't go back through all of those books. Grace, under law, God demands righteousness from spiritually bankrupt men and women. Under grace, God provides righteousness for spiritually bankrupt men and women. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Sometimes we get so focused on his hand that we don't see his face. But if we will seek his face, if we will seek after the righteousness that he's given us, what did it say about reigning in that last? Reign in all the earth. Who's going to reign in all the earth? Jesus is going to reign in all the earth. Well, how is Jesus going to reign in all the earth? Through us. It's blessed to have a pastor that teaches well, teaches the word and the uncompromising word, and doesn't just teach it but lives it and is an example of it. And through storm after storm after storm, just stays on the word and what Jesus said about stuff. And so literally living epistles that we can read. Amen? Amen. We don't even go here, and we read them. Amen. Amen. It's powerful, you know? Anyways, reign in all the earth through us. You know, we just sing the song like, "Come on, Jesus, reign. Shine, Jesus, shine." You know? Like, he's, you know, putting on the bright outfit. He's putting on the bright robes today. And he's going to... I mean it with all respect. I do. But he's going to reign through us. You know, statistics on the news. I'm going, like, all the way around the world right now, I feel like. But, you know, 1 out of 8 are going to get this. 1 out of 6 are going to get this. 1 out of 4 are going to get this. Statistic after statistic. And it's bombarded into our consciousness morning, noon, and night. You turn on the radio, you turn on television, you turn on YouTube, and you're going to get a commercial about the newest drug that's going to cure this, but it's going to cause 12 other things, and you might die, right? Pressing and pressing and pressing one narrative of fear, right? You're a mere man. You're a mere man. You're a mere man. You need to be afraid of this, right? Well, I'll tell you what. Jesus's statistic is Romans 5:17. And it's for 100% of every single believer. And it says, "Through the offense of one, death reigned. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and his gift of righteousness shall reign in this life through the one Christ Jesus." Well, I got born again. I received it. I'm telling you that the Greek there is continually receiving the abundance of his grace and his gift of righteousness. That means that when, you know, the bill comes in or a fearful thought comes, that declaring that we are the righteousness of God apart from our works through faith in what Jesus has done for us, that is how we connect continually to his gift of righteousness. And the reason our righteousness will forever be by faith, in fact, pastor will correct me, but in Romans where Paul is talking about faith, he is talking about faith unto righteousness. And there's a reason for that. Because you and I even though we're born again, we will go through our lives having thoughts and possibly actions that go contrary to the righteousness that we've been born of. We'll never, the Lord won't allow us to have a righteousness built on our works. That isn't even righteousness. That's filthy. That's dirty. Our righteousness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And so thoughts come and thoughts may persist, but declaring and believing that we've been made the righteousness of God continually connects us to the truth. Connects us to the truth. Connects us to the fact that, you know, the power source is not in and of ourselves. It's not because I came in and I'm on seven Ministry of Help schedules. And for that reason, Jesus, you need to do this for me. No way. And, you know, I mold this around, and I've heard this for a long time, but even the centurion, when, you know, the Jews came to Jesus and said, you need to do this for him because he loves our nation and he's built us a synagogue. Well, the Jews said that. They were under the law. Personally, I believe Jesus did it because he loved them. But we have to be careful there that we don't allow the context of the centurion's works was what earned him the healing. It's what man thought. Yes. Did I get an A? Yeah. It's what man thought.
Jesus did it because of his faith.
Jesus did it because of his faith. Man saw all these things and was like, oh, you really need to do it for him. Isn't it interesting that two people that Jesus said had great faith, neither of them were Jews? In fact, they're the only two. Syrophoenician woman and the centurion. Neither of them were Jews. And in Luke 4:18, right? Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me. Preach the gospel to the poor. Recovery of sight to the blind. Set at liberty them that are bruised. And getting it out of order. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You get the picture, right? I know you know that one. And then later on, and Jesus is talking about, you know, well, there was lots of widows in the day of Elijah, but he was only sent to this one that wasn't even a Jew. And there were many lepers, but none cleansed except for Naaman. Yes, got that. All right, cool. I just come here. It helps me anyways now. And, you know, I didn't see that till recently, but it was after Jesus said that, that they got bent out of shape, offended at the fact of, they were like, what do you mean we're not the special ones? Right there, Jesus was, you know. Why do I say all that? I don't know.
It's all good.
It's all good. Praise the Lord. All right, we're coming into this year. I meant to share some stuff on prayer, so I guess we'll just go there because it seems good. But it's all connected. I'm telling you, we're in order to see what is in our hearts that is growing in our hearts, to see that which, that, you know, I believe there's many in here that have contended for decades to see it. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care if Social Security says that you're of the age of retirement. You are not of the age of retirement in the kingdom of God. And there is work to be done, and there's a quick work to be done in this place that is going to propel and cause just an explosion of a move of God. Pastor, I was with Brother Ken today. I was over at his restaurant, North Stand, in his kitchen. We're just, you know, getting all excited about the things of God and just, you know, we're just talking about it's right there. We're right on the precipice of this thing. And that's why the pressure wants to feel so intense at times. Like, it even comes with, because listen, the devil's teeth have been yanked. He has no authority, right? So he has to spin fake news at our soul on a 24/7 reel until it so overwhelms the truth that we know that we begin to act on the lie of the worry, which is just meditating on something that hasn't happened. Does that make sense? Anybody ever encountered that recently, right? Why is it that there's such pressure? It's because if you weren't messing with the kingdom of darkness, if you weren't causing things to be upended and for this move of God to be birthed, the devil wouldn't be worrying about you. Still team six. Still team six. You know, and you know, I'm not downplaying stuff, situations, circumstances. I hate him. I hate the devil. But that which is opening up on the inside of every single person in this room, that of the kingdom of God, is the setup that we are about to see, and we are seeing the greatest move of God that we've ever seen. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, blessed are those that aren't offended with me. And I feel like we can get even at times offended with our circumstances or frustrated with our circumstance. And the enemy wants to push against our emotions to the point where the frustration can be pointed with like almost anger or disappointment with God. And he's not the author of it. He is not the author of it. He is not the author of it. He is the one that is leading us out. Amen? He is the one that is leading us all the way out. It's time for us to watch and pray like never before. It's time for us to, in the midst of the storm that wants to push here, that we look down here and we sense the river of living water. And we pick up with that in this moment. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to read you this real quick. I'm on your Wi-Fi. I've been here before. All right. You know, just about prayer. Brother Hagin, back in 1948, and I'm not going to read all of it, but he said this on December 1st, 1948. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he prophesied this. The secret to a successful apostolic ministry. Say, that's me. That's me. All right, we're going to try one more time. The secret to successful apostolic ministry. Say, that's me. That's right. Well, how are you saying I'm apostolic? Because Jesus, the head of the church, is apostolic. And so just by nature of that, we are all apostolic. It is an apostolic church. Just means a sent one. Amen? Just means a sent one to this area. You might have been sent here at LRGH when you were born, but you were still sent here. The secret to a successful apostolic ministry full of faith and power, using the divine given instruments of travail and compassion, will make you irresistible. I'll say that one more time. The successful apostolic ministry full of faith and power, using the divine given instruments of travail and compassion, will make you irresistible. Paul talked about my little children in whom I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. Brother Hagin prophesied at one point and said that there are those that will not get their breakthrough unless intercession is made for them. Sometimes we run to the Lord with our laundry list and how we've always prayed, and we're like, you know, Lord, bless Bobby, bless Susie, bless, you know, Phil, and, you know, we just run down the laundry list of all the things that need to be prayed out, never taking into account the third person of the Godhead in the room who's the God that's already been there, the God that's already standing in our future, figure that one out, who's already there on the victory side of the mountain that we're on. And sometimes we can go to prayer and just kind of out of our own soulish, what needs to, you know, what we can figure out and what we can see and what we think pastors need and this and that, and what the church needs to be doing and all these different things. And, you know, it's good. We have our, Paul said, I pray with my understanding and I pray in tongues. I sing with my understanding and I sing in tongues. And it all has its place. But I'm telling you, there is an ocean of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us that's just pleading to get out. And this move of God will be fueled by prayer, fired by the Spirit, and ignited with His glory. And there are deeper places in prayer that we need to get into in this year. not down the road, not sometime in the future, talking about now. Why is that? Because Jesus said, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Well, that's women's work. Yep. Awesome, man. We got too much going on to, you know, spend time. No way. You know, we need to get out of the religious box of what we let prayer look like. Because Smith Wigglesworth said, I usually don't pray longer than 10 minutes, but I usually don't go more than 10 minutes without praying. And it's interesting, we saw Jesus pray in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening. We saw him pray by himself and with others. But I think that much of the reason that Jesus never, you know, said, this is how you pray, he gave us, you know, the Lord's Prayer, which was actually the disciples' prayer. But anyways, he gave us that example. But I think that the reason he left it context or parameterless was so that it was an invitation to explore it with the Holy Spirit. It was never to be locked up into this is what prayer looks like and this is not what prayer looks like. With faith in our hearts this year, we got to be, Holy Spirit, what's on your heart? What's on your heart to do? What's on your heart? Because we can, you know, we've heard all the prophecies about President Trump. Whether you voted for him, whether you didn't, I believe he's God's man for the hour. Does it mean he's perfect? Nope. Neither am I, and neither are you. Amen? Amen. And we didn't need a charismatic in the White House right now. You know? Shaka! You know, you know, we needed a bulldog. You know, Churchill was a bulldog. But he was what England needed in World War II. It wasn't Chamberlain. You know, the politically correct, you know, bless him. That wasn't what was needed to win the war. And we have a call in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for our leaders. Whether we like them, whether we don't. We prayed all through the Obama administration. Praise the Lord. Help him, Lord. Help him. You know, Sister Patsy Caminiti said, it's amazing how wicked kings fit well into the plan of God. So it doesn't just have to be the one that, you know, gets our vote, is the one that gets our prayer supply. Because wouldn't it be just like God for an intercession force to be, you know, sent out over someone that is diametrically opposed to everything that the Bible stands for, and then Jesus appears in their room, they get radically saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now the one that the enemy has been setting up for eons to be the heir apparent to operate, you know, by and through and with the kingdom of darkness for so long, and suddenly, you know, they're sold out to Jesus. Come on! Same way, different ones that we disagree with, but yet we sit on the sidelines and can commentate and can judge and pass judgment with our words. Well, I'm just talking with my friends. I'm just talking off of a coffee. I'm just having a muffin. Whatever. I just use that. Anyways. Meanwhile, they're the ones that need our prayers. I'll tell you, during the last election, you know, the Lord just put Hillary Clinton on my heart. I didn't want to see her win. I hope I'm not right. But so put her on my heart to pray for her. Because you're talking about a woman that's been manipulated for forever, you know, by an unseen agenda. And I believe that there's a lot of people that are opposed to the church that absolutely, from the core of their being, believe that they're doing the right thing. Yeah. Saul of Tarsus. Right. Evidently that, you know, here he is. I mean, he's a first century terrorist, right? Yeah. Yeah. Having people put to death, holding their coats. But yet somehow that didn't disqualify him from the plan that God had for him. Come on. We are living in the most supernatural time, I believe ever. I believe we are the generation that will see Jesus come. Yeah, I believe it. You know, we've heard it for a whole long time, but I'll tell you what, no other generation has seen all. You guys have had Joe Morse here. I don't even need to go there. Get the tape. But all of the things that have just been set up and the pressure that is on now that is just like, quit, 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 that wants you to just, you know, stay in bed in the morning. But I'm telling you, we are right there. And we don't get there apart, we get there together. Because there is a supply of God on the inside of each of you that I need, that we need, that the body needs. Because something happens when the church comes together and, you know, all the differences in church splits and all these different things that have happened throughout the eons. At the end of the day, I'm talking about even full gospel, Pentecostal church and mainline denominations that don't believe the Holy Ghost is for today. Listen, we still have more in common than we do don't. We do don't. Because we still got Jesus in common.
Come on.
We still got Him in common. Still got Him in common. And I'll tell you what, the spirit of unity is able to sort out real quick the schisms and divisions and the, yeah, but she said, and yeah, but he did, and this, that, and the other thing, and oh, come on. Save it. Save it. We need to, I know this has been all over the show tonight. It's been like a buffet from, like, we have a restaurant in Concord called, what's it called? The Red Apple. So it's supposed to be Chinese, but you can also get American. You can also get Mexican. You can also get barbecue. Like, it's the buffet of buffets. Golden Corral. Anyways, it's not an advertisement. It's not an advertisement. What was I saying? Buffet. Right before buffet. All right. Variations in the churches. Okay. Unity. Spirit of unity. Thank you. See? It's okay. All right. Spirit of unity that'll cause, I'm telling you, there's something that happens when we come together, and in the midst of this and in the midst of that, we press into Him and say, Jesus, we declare Jesus. The pressure wants to come on, and we just keep lifting Him up higher. I'm telling you, with our voices, lifting it up higher. Well, it might feel uncomfortable, and I might look weird, and what will they think about me at church? Trust me, they'll be okay. You might just be the trigger that causes someone else to have a personal revival. Well, I've been going to church with them for 7 years. I've never seen them do that before. I guess I'm free to do it now. Come on. Here's the thing. We don't do stuff pressing in for an experience. We never do that. We never do stuff to be seen. At the same time, we can't hold back that which we sense welling up on the inside of us, because if we do that, we hold back the very thing the Holy Spirit could be doing. And it's the water's right here. The fear of man and what I'm going to look like is stepping out on the waters. And it's amazing when we do it, how He parts it and what He can do that we can't figure out. See the... It's this balancing act of, it's not about me, but at the same time, if it's not about me, then I owe Jesus the greatest expression of thanksgiving for all that He's done for me. And I'm not going to hold that back because of Red Apple Buffet tonight, I swear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why is this important? There's a sound. I'm telling you, the shofar, it's a ram's horn. It said that the shofar, the sound that comes out of it, causes demonic strongholds to shatter, because the ram has to die in order to give that horn up.
You have to boil the flesh out.
Wow.
And the word says it is as the voice of God. That's why it runs sense demons.
Come on.
They cannot stand it.
Cannot stand it. I'm telling you. He's put a shofar in all of us. Well, I've never shouted in church before. Well, why not this year? Why not 2019? Why not? Why not this year? We're not just, you know, it's not just this, you know, this soapbox that, come on, one more, we can do it, guys. Come on, one more. No, listen, there's sparks. There's an awakening up on the inside of us. It is a very strange time. It just, everything is just topsy-turvy. But we will not be shaken because our lives are founded on Him. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but everything's going to be all right. I don't care if you have to tell yourself that 100 times a day. If that starts coming, everything is going to be all right. If you have to shake your emotions and be like, shut up, everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Praise the Lord. I know you get out at 7:30, so I'm going to shut it down. But before we do, I would like to, if this is okay with everyone, I want us to pray for pastors. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. We are eternally connected. It's amazing how it happens. Two ministers that we know that, you know, were really mentors in prayer for us and many, 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 they would pray every single morning in their sanctuary for their pastor. And one day their pastor came in and he's like, what are you doing? Praying out your callings? And they're like, we had more, you know, respect than to say anything. But then, you know, a little while went by and he came in again and said the same thing. And they're like, most respectfully said to him, no, sir, we're in here praying for you. And one of them was like, we're praying for you. Like, that was the internal. Yeah, like, we're in here, like, going after it. And he looked at them and he said, well, what's the difference? Because praying out, praying into his calling was opening up the callings on the inside of us. And so, everything is connected in the kingdom of God. And so, as we sow our spiritual supply, because it's time, right? It's not, prayer is time. There's a sacrifice there. But as we, Holy Spirit, I just lift him up. And I don't know what to pray out as I ought, but I trust you for it. We've got the scriptural examples of Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and Colossians 1 and 1 Timothy 2. You know, we have these different examples of the things to pray. But then there's just the yielding to the Holy Ghost. And praying in tongues with no agenda and lifting them up. And one word might come in English. Okay, what's that word about? And you just start lifting up that word. And just leave that word there, not trying to interpret it up here. And if we need to know, he's going to let us know. But just, Holy Ghost, if I need to know, you're going to let me know. But otherwise, I don't need to know. And just setting ourselves in that place is a real safe place to, is a real safe place to be. But I'm telling you, Paul said, pray for me that unction, that I would have unction, that I would be able to wrap words around the revelations that I'm receiving from the throne of God. In other words, there's words of light that come straight from the throne of God that we need for now. Those words have the power to pierce off strongholds off people's minds. They're just not good ideas. But it took the, if Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, needed the church praying for him, Pastor John and Deb might too. Amen? Amen. Paul said that there's been a wide, effectual door that's open to me, a great and promising one, and there are many adversaries. There's a great and promising door that is opened to these pastors, to this church, to these people, to all of you in this area. They're a great and promising one. And if you haven't noticed, there's many adversaries. That didn't cause Paul to shirk back. He was just, you know, calling it out the way it was. He wasn't in unbelief about it. So praise the Lord. So pastors, if you want to stand, we're just going to lift them up real quick. Praise the Lord. If y'all want to come up, let's just surround him. Can we do that? get right up here and lay your hands on them. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this couple. We thank you for this couple. Yeah, that's awesome. Even without a request, the soundboard comes down. That's family right there. Praise the Lord. Father, we lift up this couple right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift them up to you right now. Father, we pray that you would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their heart, the eyes of their imaginations would be flooded with heaven's light, that they would know what is the hope of your calling, what it's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. Father, I ask that you would strengthen them with might in their spirits by your spirit, that you would endue them with your miraculous dunamis power on the inside, that they would stand stable, steady. Father, I ask for your wisdom that's easily entreated to absolutely envelop them in every situation that face them. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. In Jesus' name. We loose the glory of God upon them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. We just take authority over any pain, any chronic pain in the name of Jesus. And we just say inaccessible. Inaccessible to infirmity, to sickness, in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask for more of your presence to just envelop them in Jesus' name. Envelop them in the name of Jesus. We lift up the prophecies that have been spoken over them, over the assignment that you've given them. Father, I thank you for bringing those words to their remembrance in the name of Jesus. And I take authority right now over every assignment of the enemy to try and distract, to try and discourage in Jesus' name. We draw a line of the blood of Jesus around the family right now in the name of Jesus. Their kids, Satan, you take your hands off of them in the name of Jesus. We loose the angels of God right now to stand guard over the kids and the grandkids in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your peace that passes all understanding, wrapping them up like a blanket in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for knitting their hearts together with this body of believers. I thank you for a supernatural SEAL Team 6 strategically placed here for this time. In the name of Jesus, and we loose the angel of financial breakthrough right now in Jesus' name. You go out and you do what you're supposed to do. You go out and minister on their behalf in the name of Jesus. Satan, you take your hands off their money, and we call to the seeds that they've sown personally and as a church body in the name of Jesus, and we reap those seeds right now in the name of Jesus. We reap that harvest. In the due time, in the due season, and I thank you for the due season of seeds in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We just sever all of the stuff the enemy's just tried to, in Jesus' name, tried to put weight on their shoulders. We say no, 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 in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask for refreshing right now. Refreshing. Refreshing. By Holy Spirit, refreshing, overwhelming, 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 even the memory, arovexi, amprazorti, ambrosuke, ambradishkede, ambrose, ambrosungunsham branyono, mashambro nanashki, reimbursi, ambrosi, erda mercy, ambrosuke, erda sorti, ambrosi, ambranoshte, oh, more, more, more. More, Ramashte, Moro Victorno Brazante, Oh, Norema Shambro Manashte, Ramante, a reservoir of overflow, a reservoir of overflow. I thank you, Lord, for your oil saturating both of them in Jesus' name, saturating them, saturating them, saturating them in the name of Jesus. I sever word curses. Words that have hurt in the name of Jesus. And I just lose healing right now to those places in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Revexi erda sorti ambranuti erda vashki ambrosunte. Ambrose. Ambrose. We just bless them right now. Bless are the feet. Blessed are the feet. Imbroto revixi ambrataski erdo. Ham. Rom. Revisham brahmanashti ambranuchi aravexi ambrasute. Ambrosi artisat prazuki aramashkadesi arabashkadesa. Imbrosorti ambrasuka ravexambro ambrasunte. And we join our faith with them right now in the name of Jesus. In circumstances and situations, we say, be sorted now in the name of Jesus. Be sorted now in the name of Jesus. Be sorted now in the name of Jesus. Resambroshono remexi ambarstaido. Randu suprazike ambrashono. Ambros ambrosorti ambrosuka. Ambrosuka brasabro tuka. Ambrosuke. Ambrosukorda sambranchadiska. Ambrosute. In Jesus' name. 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 Brasaki ambradashkade. Ambranuta revexi ambranuta. Ravancho sorteno brazunke. Hum. Brother Hagin prophesied and said, unless the ministry of prayer goes forth, all the other ministries will fail. Unless those in the body of Christ take their place in the ministry of prayer, that all the other, you know, and he would talk about, you know, oh, this great evangelist and, you know, millions of people got saved and wow, what the reward that they'll get. And he'll say, no, is that little lady sitting in what would seem like the periphery of the world in her rocking chair praying that got that reward. Because God doesn't, the rewards don't go out like that. Rewards don't go out like that. Listen, I just sever the lie of inferiority and the lie of insignificance in the name of Jesus. Because I'll tell you what, right from your rocking chair, right from your prayer closet, you can be like Brosa Prajono Ramekte, like a nuclear submarine way underneath the water that the enemy can't see. But that the arsenal that you carry can be very demonstrative and destructive to the kingdom of darkness. Ravante, all it takes, is, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. It doesn't matter how long we've been praying either. Because Romans 8 says, you know, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself gives utterance, gives us groanings. In inarticulate speech, when we know not what to pray for as we ought. Well, that just takes the weight off our shoulders of needing know what to pray for as we ought. Sometimes we get in this form of, well, I've just got to help the Holy Spirit. I've got to help Him, right? Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand. But, you know, Lord, this just needs to, instead of just, if we'll watch in those times of frustration, we'll sense this. Well, that seems silly. It seems like foolishness. Yeah, but He uses the foolish things to confound.
That's right.
A groan can reach the throne. A groan can reach the throne. Jesus groaned before He called Lazarus forth. We'll get into that sometime, maybe. Lord willing. Lord willing and Pastor willing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, thank You. I thank You for this couple. Father, I just ask You to bless them in every arena in Jesus' name. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Thank You for their faithfulness, for that which they've stood for that which they've contended for. I thank You for what You're doing in and through them. And I thank You, Lord, for this wonderful church family, Lord. I thank You for this precious, as I look around, I just thank You for these wonderful people. And You see every situation, every circumstance. Father, we lift every one of them up to You. And we hand the care of it to You right now in Jesus' name. You didn't create us to carry it. So we're just deciding right now, we're done holding on to the care. In Jesus' name, we hand it to You. We hand it all to You. We thank You that You've got us. You've got us. You've got us. Hallelujah. And we give You all the glory and praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.